Thanks. So I'm going to be presenting on some tomato trials that we have done over the past 3 years to look at organic high tunnel and field systems and to get the start of information about whether we really need separate breeding programs for the high tunnel system and the field system in organic. A lot of seed companies are starting to breed for high tunnel production, and so they're interested in seeing whether there's a lot of genotype by environment interaction between those two systems. The work I'm going to be presenting are pieces of the master's thesis of Terry Hodge, who just defended and will finish at the end of August, and Kit Healy, who started this project and is now working for the Organic Seed Alliance. Tom Hickey is also a master's student with me. He's doing quite a bit now with the tomatoes, and then Brian Emerson is my research specialist, and none of this would happen without him. So I want to give them all credit for the work that they've done. The project stakeholders are really smaller scale growers in the north central region of the United States that are selling directly to consumers. So people that are interested in quality primarily and also need good yield and production, good disease resistance. So that's kind of our target audience and the farmers that we're working with on this project. We had an open field trial and a high tunnel right next to each other, same soil type, same environment, two replications in each of those environments over 3 years. We tested mostly different varieties. So we were trying to keep the management as similar as possible while following grower practices. We had several growers on speed dial. to try to make sure that we were mimicking their system as much as possible. And this area has been certified organic and managed organically on the research farm for, I think, about 10 years now. We have a very good station superintendent who manages that. So we're pretty confident that the environment that we're seeing is similar to organic growers in our region. The varieties fell into three different kind of classes or genetic backgrounds. And when I say genetic background, I mean their parentage. So they're not true heirlooms here on the top, but all of the parentage that went into those varieties are heirloom varieties. They've often been reselected. Craig Grau and Keith Mueller, both independent breeders who have been doing some selection in organic systems. And then you can see the companies that were sourcing these seeds from. The modern slicer types are all modern parentage, and then the crosses are 50% heirloom, so an heirloom parent and a modern parent. A couple of them are a cross followed by selection of a new OP, and then the other ones are hybrid. So we kind of tried to get a range of varieties within each class to really look at the effect of genetic background on performance, because we're interested in whether we need to have different breeding programs and how the genetic background affects that. The production results are similar to what other people have found in high tunnel versus field comparisons. Over 3 years, we found a 41% increase in yield in the high tunnel. That's across all the varieties. We had greater fruit number and larger fruit size in the high tunnel and much greater disease in the field. So the production increase in the high tunnel is probably both due to season extension and disease reduction. We found one of the years there wasn't really a difference in the amount you were taking out per week, but the season extension part was much more important, with the edges of the season producing a lot more in the high tunnel. Other years we had a higher yield per week in the high tunnel, and then the disease is really a major factor. You're protected in the high tunnel from a lot of the foliar diseases that really limit production in the field. So this is just a comparison. We did look at each variety as well, but we were particularly interested in the comparison of these kind of general categories, because the kind of conventional wisdom, I guess, is that heirlooms don't yield as well, but they taste better, and crosses or modern slicers yield much more but don't taste good. And then the crosses, we really wanted to see. Those are the ones that we're kind of most interested in, how they performed compared to the other two categories. So we found a slightly lower yield in the heirlooms, not significant except in 1 year. The crosses and the modern slicers were not different at all in yield. And the main difference was the field versus the high tunnel, so the management system. The disease, this is a photo of the same day. You can see in the field, we're seeing a lot of septoria and early blights. We do get late blight occasionally, but we have not at our research farm. So that's not as much of a concern, although it will be in a few years. So we're part of a national project that's looking at late blight resistance as well. But we mostly get septoria and early blights, and then the high tunnel we get. They're 30 feet away. The wind goes from the field into the high tunnel, and we still see almost no foliar disease in the high tunnel. This is that that time of year with the photos, the percentage foliage affected, 80% in the open field and 20% in the high tunnel. If you plot the area under the disease progress curve over the season, it kind of stays flat in the high tunnel, and it kind of takes off in the field. You can, it's very clear that disease is limiting production in the field. Most of the plants stop producing before frost because they're dead. And the growers find the same problem with pretty much any of the varieties they grow. So we're looking for good disease resistance for those two diseases. We didn't see a lot of changes in the ranking of the varieties between the high tunnel and the field for yield or disease. And the disease is hard because in the field, everything is affected. And in the high tunnel, there's very low disease pressure. So I think we need something in that mid-range to kind of separate the means a little bit more. And we haven't seen that kind of ideal level of disease pressure yet. What we did find was that the secondary traits that you need are quite different between the two systems. In the field, you need strong disease resistance for early blight and septoria. Bacterial speck and spot can be a problem. Cracking is a major issue when we get 4 inches of rain at a time. They all suck up the water and then crack. And then the shorter season in the field. High tunnel, we see a lot of blossom end rot. Though that happens when the plants are growing really rapidly at the beginning of the season and they can't translocate calcium fast enough. And so the first fruit often has blossom end rot, green shouldering. Blossom abortion can happen when the temperatures spike. So we saw quite a bit of that in some periods during the year. And then hornworms, you can see my crew is racing the hornworms up the trellising. We don't have a lot of birds in the high tunnel, so we get much higher hornworm pressure. We have released beneficial insects, Dendrogramma wasps, which are controlling the hornworms a bit better, but that continues to be a problem. So breeding for these secondary traits may be just as important as trying to optimize yield and disease resistance in the two systems, and those are different between the two systems. The other thing we tracked, and this is very preliminary, we're going to do this over multiple years, are the labor hours between the two systems, because I think growers feel like there's a lot more labor in the high tunnel than in the field, which is true, but most of that is actually in harvesting. So the actual labor of management is similar, and the harvesting is more because you're actually taking more fruit out. So that may be something where the cost of production isn't that much different, you're just getting more yield in the high tunnel. And that, of course, goes into your general profitability. For quality results, we looked at Brixen and titratable acidity and citric acid equivalent. In the two systems, we had higher Brix in the high tunnel and similar levels of acidity in both systems. The higher Brix in the high tunnel may not be entirely good for flavor because the ratio of the two is important, and having higher sugar to acid may actually decrease the intensity of flavor. But what we found was that there was that period where the field was not full of disease, where the flavor was good, and then it quickly dropped off. So the rest of the information I'll present is from the high tunnel, only comparing some of these traits that we were trying to see whether Brix and citric acid could be a proxy for flavor. Because when you're doing selection, you have to select on a lot, and people burn out after tasting a certain number of tomatoes. So the crew at the beginning of the season thinks it's the best job in the world. By the end of the season, they do not want to taste any more tomatoes. Because we taste every week and we have replicated text, so we can do kind of an incomplete block over the course of the season to make sure everything gets tasted. But by the end of the season, they're pretty tired of tasting tomatoes. So what we found was for sweetness and acidity, the modern parentage had lower values. So this is scored on a perceived sweetness and acidity from 0 to 5. Modern was lower than heirlooms and crosses. Same thing with acidity. Crosses were not significantly different than the heirlooms. So that's really positive because we're seeing similar production in the crosses and similar levels of sweetness and acidity. So that was a good or a promising finding. We also looked at some of the correlations. So perceived sweetness to Brix, 0.65. Perceived acidity to citric acid was 0.7. So we're getting fairly good correlation between what people are tasting and what we're measuring. We also have a pretty strong correlation between the acidity and the sweetness that people are tasting. So tomatoes that are more acid tend to be also sweeter. I think this is something that breeders have been selecting for. Same thing with our instrumental measurements, correlations between measured sugar and measured acidity. The sweetness and acidity were both strongly correlated to the perceived flavor intensity and to the overall flavor. And then the flavor intensity and people's preference or rating of the overall flavor was very strongly correlated. So in tomato, it seems that more intense flavor seems to increase preference. This is not the case in like kale or lettuce when we do that. The more intense flavors tend to be more bitter, and so people don't like them as much. But this is something where we can maybe only measure intensity rather than asking people about preference, because that can bias some of our measurements of the other perceived sweetness and acidity. So for future directions, we've made new crosses to try to target the secondary traits that are important in the high tunnel and in the field production systems. We have a new SARE grant that's funding that. We also have an OREI grant, the TOMI project, that's looking specifically at field production, and that's been going on for 4 years, and we're looking at disease resistance and flavor and hopefully going to release a couple varieties at the end of that project, which were included in this one too. The OSA 404 and 405 crosses are performing quite well. So those are some new crosses that are out in the field now as F2s. I get to go back and look at what we have, so I'm really excited about that next week. And then we're also looking at caterpillar tunnels as a way of potentially lowering the cost of the protected culture system. Caterpillar tunnels cost maybe $1,500 compared to $20,000 or so for a high tunnel to put up. They're also mobile, which really helps with crop rotation. So this is a question that growers had and that we're looking at with our SARE project to see whether caterpillar tunnels can give you most of the benefits of high tunnels at a lower cost and with more flexibility for growers. So with that, I'd like to thank my group. I've got some really great graduate students, undergrads, Janet Hedke, who manages the trials or the station, chefs that help us with flavor evaluation, all the seed companies that have given us varieties, farmers where we've done on-farm trials, which I didn't present here, but they're really important, and then our funding, which is North Central SARE for this particular project. I probably can take one question.
One question?
Yes. Not in the tomatoes. We had a major problem with spider mites in our cucumbers. So that has been something where we're trying to figure out. In cucumbers, we've had a number of issues. Tomatoes, we've mostly seen the foliar diseases in the field and not too much disease at all in the high tunnel. We do have some white mold, and we did get a little bit of early blight, but both at very low levels. Okay. Yes, we have winter in Wisconsin, which reduces the insect population.